I have my Bible open once again to Romans chapter 8. Please join me there as I'll begin reading in verse 7. We've already covered verse 7 and 8, but in order to make the connection with the reading of the portion that follows, to make that connection, I'll go back to those, but we will actually begin our expounding on verse 9, but to catch us up, verse 7 of Romans chapter 8. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. As I said to the 9:15 group this morning, this is probably the most important sermon that I have to date delivered in this pulpit. And if you will note the title of the sermon, Are You a Christian? The answer to that is foremost in the mind of a pastor. Are the people within his flock, are the people within the church, are the people that here, that come here and make up this dynamic, this group of people, are they in fact Christian? You'll say, well, Pastor Tim, of course, here we are. Well, as I've said many times, I wish it were that simple, but it is not. So you please pray as we make our way through this wonderful chapter of Romans 8 and these particular verses, and we look and we work toward your particular answer to this particular question. Before I take you into the passage of Romans 8 and these verses, I'd like for you to go with me to Matthew chapter 25. You can go there or you can just listen as I will be reading about 12 verses of chapter 25, a familiar parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. The parable of the 10 virgins. Chapter 25, verse 1, and we read these words. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." This parable speaks to us in the church today. We would relatively say the virgins make up the believers, make up the body of Christ. Let me phrase it that way. The virgins make up the body of Christ. The bridegroom, of course, being gone for a long time, and then his returning is, of course, Jesus Christ. Notice carefully that all 10 of these virgins, all 10 of those who made up this body, had many, many things in common. A, they all believed in the bridegroom. They believed in his existence. They believed he was. They also believed in his return. They were all there awaiting his return. They all did what they felt necessary to make themselves ready for his return, and so they waited patiently for that return. All of them, because of the due time, all fell asleep. So all of these ladies, these 10 virgins, they all had these things in common. And please make the connection. We here in the church, we here in the body of Christ, we have many, many things in common. We all believe in Jesus Christ. We all meet here every Sunday. We come to church. We do those Christian things. We have those things in common. But notice what happens as the bridegroom is announced and the bridegroom returns. Five were ready. Five were asked to come in and feast at the banquet. Five were accepted by the bridegroom, by the Lord Jesus. The other five that had many of those same things in common were not even known by the bridegroom. Such will be the day, as this passage says, at the time of the kingdom of God. Such will be the day when Jesus Christ returns and takes his church. There will be those who run to the door. Let me in. Sir, let me in. And those words will come through the door. Not an opened door, but a closed door. I don't know you. I don't know you. So I ask the question, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? Are you one of those that when the bridegroom returns and that door is opened and he announces that invitation, come in and join me at my banquet, will you be one of those who is seated at that table? Or will you be one of those when the door shuts and he says, I don't know you? How do you know? How do we know? Please go back with me to Romans chapter 8. If you have been a little uneasy in these last couple of weeks, asking some serious questions of yourself because of these statements I've made, those who live by the sinful nature and those who live by the Spirit, there is two distinct categories. If you have left this place asking questions or saying, am I following my nature or am I walking in accordance with the Spirit, then I thank our Lord for His presence in your life that you have pondered those questions, because these passages should be challenging to you. As Peter tells us, make your election, make your salvation known. Make it sure in your heart. So any time we come to questions and any time we come to ponderings such as this, we should get very introspective and say, Lord, am I? Lord, am I? I believe I am, but let me know for sure. Because these verses are meant to be words of assurance. But they are only those words of assurance for those who are in Christ. They would be words of conflict for those who would find themselves outside, those who would find themselves walking by the natures. Let's look at these verses, because in these three verses, these verses 9, 10, and 11, they give us three testimonies, three articles, three characteristics for which we can look at ourselves and say yes or no to that question of, are we a Christian? Now, please understand, when I ask that question, I'm not asking, are you religious? I am not asking, do you go to church? I am not asking, do you pay your tithes? I am not asking, are you kind to your neighbor? Do you help them? None of those questions come into play yet. This is a deep, deep spiritual question that can only be answered in your very soul. And it can only be answered by that soul that does acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It has nothing to do with performance. So please understand that as we go in. Verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Question, does the Spirit of God live in you? This should be something that we would see in our past. Was there a point in time when you recognized in your life that there was an absence of Jesus Christ in your life? There was not the Spirit of God living in you. And that you came to that point where you acknowledged that you were a sinner and that you were doomed for hell except for the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That is something that should have happened in the past. Now, I know there are many of you who are blessed, what we would call being covenant children. And so that demarcation would be a little bit fuzzy or a little bit cloudy because you were so young. But you should be able to acknowledge that you have felt, you are aware of, and you know and have knowledge of the presence of the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And praise God that you didn't know the darkness. But for those of us who knew the darkness, who knew a day where Jesus Christ was not our Lord, and we were wandering through this world aimlessly by our own natures, here it says, you who are not controlled by the Spirit are the one, or excuse me, not controlled by the nature are the ones who have the presence of the Spirit within you. Do you? Do you? Can you answer right now? If Jesus Christ were to crack that eastern sky right now, would you stand up? Would you be one of the ones that He would lift up from this place to join Him in the sky? You have to answer that question now, because at that point it would be too late. Secondly, present day. Going on now, what is going on now in your life? Verse 10 speaks to that. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Now, this could be a bit of a challenging passage. Dead. Your body is dead because of sin. But this is the one who said that is in Christ. If I am in Christ, then there is life. We talked about that at length last week. But here it says, if Christ is in you, your body, notes the word, body, mortal, sarx is the Greek word, mortal, yourself. Excuse me, your being, your life, your body is dead. We see that, or we acknowledge that as true, because it is the fleshly body, the earthly existence, that is the seedbed of sin. Flip Wilson, years ago, some of you probably remember the comedian that said, "The devil made me do it." Sorry, younger ones, y'all don't remember that. The devil made me... Nope, sorry. That was an untrue statement. Is there temptation? Absolutely. But in our desires, in our flesh, in our being, that is where sin comes from. Satan is simply the temptation. Our reaction to him is sin. In our fleshly selves, in our fleshly beings, our bodies are dead. And you should say, praise the Lord, because I want everything of that nature to die. But notice what else is said in connection with this. Because is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Remember back to the second half of chapter 7 when Paul went into that turmoil of language that I want to do good, but I can't. I try to do good, but there is that law. Well, there is the battle he's speaking of. The body is dead. It is drawn to deadness. It is drawn to those fleshly desires. It is drawn to sin. But our spirits are alive. Our spirits are alive because of the righteousness of Christ. Oil and water, it won't happen. It doesn't mix. So there is that conflict. If you are seated here today and you can acknowledge that conflict in your life, that, yes, Lord, I try to do so well. I try to be what you would have me to be. But there's always that wall. There's always that conflict. There's always that little voice that said, Tim, you did it again. And then there is the conviction. The conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's an indication of a Christian. If you go about your sinful nature, if you go about your sinful ways and you say, oh, it ain't that big a deal, everybody does it, then you might ponder a little deeper. Because of the life of righteousness that's in me, any time I sin that I'm knowledgeable of and aware of, there should be that conviction. There should be that little voice. There should be that overwhelming, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. But if you are moving lackadaisically through life, you say things, you tell jokes you shouldn't tell, you hang out in places that's probably not the best place for you, you do things with your money that you shouldn't do, you don't obey your parents as you should, and then there are no elements of conviction, there's no remorse, I'm not the one to say. I cannot see your heart. But these are telltale signs that should cause you to ponder deeply. And then in a more future tense, verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. One day, unless the Lord returns, all of us will lay these old, ugly, mortal, hurtful, painful bodies in a grave. But according to this passage, that mortal body will be renewed. And you'll get one that's good. So the back pain will be gone. My neck won't hurt. My knees won't hurt. I can walk straight. My heart won't ache. I'll be able to take a deep breath without coughing. I won't need that cane. Or wheelchair. We will get new bodies. We'll get new bodies. But I will know who you are. I will recognize you as you will see me. That's the ultimate hope of a Christian. Do you have that hope? Do you have that hope? As I prayed in the fellowship hall this morning, I prayed, Jesus Christ, maybe today would be the day you would return. Is that your prayer? If we belong to Jesus Christ and our hope and our ambition and our desire is to be like Christ and to be with Christ, then I think that would come into our vocabulary at some point in time, that I have a desire for my Lord to come back and get me. I'm tired of this. Is that your hope? Is that your desire? That mortal body would be laid down, and that Jesus Christ would come and renew that body and bring you into Himself. Only those who have the Spirit within them back to the parable of the 10 virgins, I somehow think of that oil in that lamp. The oil that the foolish ones didn't have, that the wise ones did. What did that oil do? It empowered that lamp. It created a light. It created a fire. Five had it, five didn't. The five who had it are eating a good meal. The five who didn't are out in the streets. In my mind, I see that as the Holy Spirit. That made a wrong analogy, but bear with me. The power of the Holy Spirit creates a fire within us. The power of the Holy Spirit causes that flame to grow within us. And dear friends, if you do not have that fire, if you do not have that ambition of growth, if you do not have that desire to be alive, then you possibly would have to answer that question I asked earlier, are you a Christian, by saying no. What is your answer? What is your answer? What is your answer? Are you a Christian? Are you one that has the Spirit within you? Are you the one that has a life within you that is keen to the Word of God? When the Word of God is spoken, my ears perk up. When I read something in the Scriptures, I get this visual image of things going on in the spirit world. When I hear of another brother or sister in pain, my heart goes out. When I see someone who has done something that's improper, do I feel the urgings, the drawings to go and correct them in the love of Christ? Those are the things a Christian would do. Are you a Christian? Please bow your heads and let's pray. Father, there are some in this room today, I would perceive, that would answer that question by saying no. They would not verbally speak that out. And they would try to live the lie that I live my life the way I want to. I do what I like and I'll do that later. I uttered those words myself, Lord. But today is the day that Jesus Christ has made available to His people and to those who possibly would be an opportunity to change that answer from a no to a yes. And I'd like to ask, if you are seated here this morning and you know for sure that that answer is no, I'm not a Christian, and the Holy Spirit is gnawing in your gut, that the Holy Spirit is pushing on your shoulders, that the Holy Spirit is swelling up within you, that yes, it's time for that answer to change, and I'd like to ask you to come here and let's have prayer together. If you're here and you're possibly confused by that question, well, I think, but I don't know for sure. There are no ifs. Lord, work in these hearts. Lord, this is why I acknowledge that this is the most important sermon given in this pulpit. Because it is a call of the gospel. It is a call of Jesus Christ to His children. It is a call to those who do not yet know Him, but it is His desire that they might, that you might. Please come. if you're here and you acknowledge yourself as a believer, but you have strayed. You are not what God would have you to be. And you know that in your heart. And you'd like to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Please come and get me. Then I'd like to have prayer with you. As a prodigal son returned to his father, Jesus will open his arms to you and throw a great feast in your name. And all the angels will celebrate wildly because you found your way back home. Please come.